Thank you for joining us at the Sick of Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
We're starting a new series for this month, and it's entitled Star Witness. I was a star witness. So in City Lights, we try to go through different aspects of the Christian life, especially the key aspects that we focus on as a church, which is, number one, helping people to know God, helping people to love people, helping people to find freedom, helping people to discover purpose, and then helping people to make a difference in this world. So those are the five pillars that we focus on as a church, the five expressions of our purpose as a church, to raise an army of light, people who God can use to advance his kingdom. So this month we're focusing on the make a difference aspect of our purpose. Everybody say, make a difference. All of us have been called to make a difference for God. So that's what we're going to be discussing throughout this month. And the theme of the month is Star Witness. Star Witness. So I'm starting with a message today titled, What's the Good News According to You? You could also title it, The Message You Were Born to Share. The Message You Were Born to Share. What's the good news according to you? Amen. We're going to take our text from Matthew chapter 28. That's our text for the month. Matthew 28 from verse 19 to 20. Jesus, shortly before he ascended to heaven, after his resurrection, gave this command to his disciples, which means all of us. Let's read it together. Matthew 28 from 19 to 20. 1, 2, let's go. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And to teach them to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of what? Of the ages. So it was a command, a direct command of Jesus, that we should go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I said something on Wednesday, during our first Wednesday service, when I was introducing the theme of the month. I said there are two key words there, and there's a particular one that we really need to focus on, is the word make. Now, go is very important also. Those two verbs there, say go and make. Everybody say go and make. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And I said, disciples don't make themselves. They are made. Somebody has to deliberately go and start the process of making disciples. They don't make themselves. So it involves some work. So when Jesus was going, he knew that what he started with the people that was with him, that work needs to be continued. So he commissioned all those who were going to believe in him and follow him afterwards to continue in the same thing. And I dare to say this to you, that this is the most important thing on the agenda of God. Every other thing that God does is around this. Everything we do in church, you know, worship, fellowship, and all that, is because God actually wants more people to come into his kingdom so that they can join in the worship and join in the fellowship. Amen. Thank God for our relationship with God. But somebody discipled us, somebody came to us, somebody spoke to us. That's why we have a relationship with God. So but God wants more children. God wants more people to come into relationship with Him. He wants more people to worship Him, more people, you know, to serve Him, more people to know Him, more people to experience the freedom that He has given to us. And that's why He gave us this very important task of going into all the people groups. People groups. The word nations in that place means groups of people. Groups of people. Groups of people. So there's a nation of doctors, there's a nation of engineers, there's a nation of Uber drivers, there's a nation of mothers, there's a nation of single young men, single young women, there's a nation of children, there's a nation of high schoolers, there's a nation of college students, there's a nation of, you know, America, and so on. All kinds of people groups, both geographical and also sociological. That's what he meant there. So he says, go and teach all nations. Go and speak to them and teach them what I have already taught you. And said, I'm going to be with you as you do that. He says, and as you go to teach them, baptize them. Bring them into my body. No, don't just teach them outside. Say, baptize them into the body. Bring them into my body. Bring them into relationship with me. Baptize them into my church so that they can continue to have a relationship with me and be part of the family, that, you know, I can use them, you know, through and within that family. So that was what Jesus gave us to do. So we're going to be unpacking that, this month, step by step. Today, I want to focus on your message. Everybody say, my message. So the star witness is the most important witness in a court trial. It's the person that, when the person comes, the person can be a game changer in the case. When the person gives their testimony, there's a possibility that by the person giving the testimony, the people that field this star witness, the legal team that field this star witness, there's a possibility that they're going to win the case. Now, something that this person is going to say is so important that they keep this person, and, you know, when they present this person as a crucial point in the case, that's who a star witness is. But what makes the person a star witness? What makes the person a star witness is the fact that the person experienced something or knows something, was a high witness to something that is important to the case. So this person comes to share it because of something they know, because of something that they experienced. And then they change the case. So being a star witness begins with knowing something. It begins with an experience. Something that you know that nobody else knows. Something that you experience that by talking about the experience, you are able to corroborate a particular argument. That's what it means to be a star witness. Now, we're not talking about a court case here. We're not talking about a legal case here. But we're talking about the case of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, and the transformative power in our lives. That's what we're talking about here. So a star witness in this context is somebody who has experienced something about Jesus and is able to make a convincing argument to people who have not experienced it based on what they have experienced, based on what this person has seen and known or experienced. So we're talking about somebody who has a message, not a message that was taught to him or her, not a message that you picked up just from someone. But we're talking about somebody who has experienced and witnessed something and you want to share it. You just want to talk about it. I was reading a book a while ago. The book was called The Spontaneous Expansion of the Church. And the author was talking about the early church, that there was no time in the entire Bible from Acts of the Apostle till Revelation, talking about the New Testament, after Jesus died, apart from this instruction, called the Great Commission in the Gospels, that from Acts of the Apostle, You know, maybe from Acts chapter 1, when he said, you'll be my witnesses, that anybody ever encourage anyone to go and share the gospel. In other words, you won't read it in the epistle of Paul. Make sure you preach the message of Jesus or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, go and evangelize. These people, for some reason, nobody had to tell them to do it. They just went and they were doing it. And so this author asks the question, how come in the modern day church, we encourage one another? I mean, we talk to one another, you know, we'll go share the gospel and we find little people, I mean, not much people sharing it. But these people, nobody ever had to encourage them to go and share the gospel, but they were willing to give their lives for it. And the person came to the conclusion that the only reason why that happened was because the people had an experience. Everybody said they had an experience. And the author used this illustration in the book. He said, for example, if you were just in your house and suddenly you were caught up, like something just happened, and then maybe might not be miraculous, maybe an alien or whatever, just an example, just catches you up and then takes you up into space and you saw beautiful things and you had some wonderful experience. They say when you come back down to earth, what is the first thing that you are going to want to do? Can somebody guess? You're going to have to, the experience is not complete, right? Until you tell somebody about it. Ha! Do you know what happened to me? I was in my room and then something just happened and I saw this. In fact, you tell one person, you tell another person. In fact, you want to write it. You want to talk to everyone. You put it on Facebook. You put it everywhere. Why? Because you had what? An experience. So the person asks this question. Is it possible that the reason why many people don't share their faith or share the gospel now is because we have not really experienced him as we should? Is that possible? Because I know myself and I know people generally. Whenever something happens to you that is an experience, you usually will want to share it with someone. So as Jesus touched your life, so it's time to share it. So I just want to share with you very quickly the story of six people, and I'm going to do it very fast. The story of six people that had an experience with God, and the experience moved them to share. I'm trying to show you that you don't need to be theologically trained. You don't need to have a special method. You don't need to have some special training to be able to share and be a witness for Christ. All you need is an experience that you can share about. Are you listening to me? Everybody say an experience. And I know you have some experience with Christ. And if you don't have enough, we can have more. Amen. I'll show you how you can have some more experience so that you can have something to share. So the message you were born to share, or the good news according to you. Let's look at the first one. A woman with a story that changes a village. A woman with a story changes a village. Let's look at the story of this woman. So Jesus was sitting by the well, was thirsty. And this woman comes to get some water. When she was going for the water, I mean, nobody knows why she was going for the water, you know, midday, because usually people get water in the morning or late, but it was about midday, and the woman went there and sees Jesus there sitting down by the well. And then they get into a conversation about water. And then soon the conversation became more spiritual. It started with some natural discussion and it became a more spiritual discussion. And Jesus began to use water to talk about this woman's life. Now let's read from verse 13. It says, Jesus replied. That's, you know, further down in the conversation. John chapter 4 from verse 13. It says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give never will be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Amen. Then the woman said in verse 15, please, sir. The woman said, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Jesus said, go and get your husband. So Jesus went from water and got into our business. Amen. And Jesus told her, I don't have a husband. Then I don't have a husband. Amen. The woman replied, Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth, sir. The woman said, you must be a prophet. And then later, the woman left a water jar beside the well and ran back to the village. Now, everybody, let's read together. What was she telling everyone? Telling her, come and see a man who did what? Who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. So a woman had an experience with Jesus. What was the experience? Jesus gave her a revelation about her. And Jesus told her about living water. So she encountered Jesus. And from that encounter, that experience, she goes and goes to her village and tells the other people there, see, there's a man who is by the well that I met. And this man told me some things about myself. And everybody said, wow, let's go see what this man, who this man is. And they came to Jesus. And you know, people can come to Jesus and go back the same. So this woman went from just going to fetch water, had an encounter with Jesus, and became an evangelist just because she told her story. Amen. That's one of the illustrations of the power of your story. Now you will say, what this woman experienced was, it wasn't really, you know, something. Some of you have experienced that Jesus, how many of you have had Jesus tell you some things about yourself before? Maybe you were praying, or maybe you were in church, or maybe, you know, something was happening and then, you know, God speaks to you, it's something about yourself, give you an insight into yourself. You think, well, that's just an experience, but that's an experience that can transform people if you shared it. So sharing your story simply means, you know what, there was a particular day, you know, I was praying or I was in church or whatever, or there was, you know, time I was seeking, and then, you know, this just happened to me, and then I just got this revelation, and this revelation just transformed my life. But what you do not know is that what you are speaking about is what the person you are speaking to needs. They need a message from God. But sometimes we downplay it. We say, oh, no, it's not that important. It was just an experience that I had. You know, I'm just going to keep it to myself. But this woman, because she didn't keep it to herself, she shared her encounter with the people in the village. She became a star witness and drew people from the village to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the power of this woman's act. Now, before this, Jesus Christ once tried to get to Samaria. And the people of Samaria did not want to receive Jesus. To the point that the disciples of Jesus, two of them said, Jesus, call down fire from heaven and destroy them. And Jesus said, I don't do that. That you guys don't know the kind of spirit that you are of. But this woman went and shared that story. And later in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says that Philip went to Samaria to preach the gospel, and the entirety of Samaria received Jesus. So this woman was the seed sower for what was eventually going to happen through Philip. And how did she sow the seeds? She sowed the seed by sharing a story, a simple story of an encounter with Jesus. And eventually God took that story, God took that seed and used it to turn the whole Samaritan nation around. That's how powerful your story can be. You don't know how far your story will go. You don't know that Facebook post, that Instagram post, that simple story that you shared. You were in a party with some friends, or you were just gathered together, just walking, and they were talking. I just like to share something that Jesus told you at a particular time about you. You don't know how powerful it is. You don't know where it can go. Amen. You don't know how far you can go. I've been teaching for a while, and I've discovered sometimes I go to some places I've never been before, and they will come and meet me. For example, a good example was about, you know, when you tell the story of your life. So I was in Rwanda this last time, and we just finished a meeting, and a man runs after me, a Rwandese man, you know, ran after me and said, "I see your son." He said, "This is your son." I said, yeah. He said, "I listened to a message that you preached 3 years ago. And when you were preaching, you said, I'm going to bring my son. That I'm going to bring my son to Rwanda for one of these conferences." He said, "Now I see your son. I see your son." And the man says, "You know, I live in Illinois, but you know, I'm in Rwanda right now. Lives on somewhere. And I began to tell me the story. So then I got into the car. The man ran back. Just ran back. Now, I'm telling the full story, but this might not apply to what I'm teaching. But the man ran back, and the man brought money and said, "I just want to give this to you because you inspired me." A story. Everybody say story. So I hear stories like that I share in messages. A simple story of something from the past, of how Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ spoke to me. I consecrated myself, you know, sharing with the kids during the Leading Light camp that we're having. Told them many stories. I told them the story of how I met my wife, how Jesus touched me and I met my wife. I told them the story of how God called me when I was 15, when I was in there. I know the kids were opening their eyes. I said, "Wow, even God can call someone." I said, "I've been doing that since I was 15. So you also can do it. So I believe that God can speak to you now also. Your story is powerful. It's powerful. Stop hiding your story. And as we're going to see later, it's not just the good story. Amen? Everybody say, it's not just the good stories. Your bad stories also matter. Amen? Being a star witness is not hard. Being a star witness for Jesus means being open to be able to tell how Jesus Christ has touched you. When God places you, when you find yourself in situations, when you see people going through exactly what you went through, just be open to tell your story. You can be a star witness for God, and God can use that to transform people and transform places beyond what you think. So we need to be more open. Someone say, "I need to be more open about what God is doing in my life." You know, there's this theory that when God is working in your life and all that, when God is doing things in your life, make sure you keep it. I don't know where people got that from. I don't know. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the secret, I want you to shout it on the rooftop." Do you get what I'm saying? Of course, there's a place where, you know, you incubate things and all that. You get what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ weighed more heavily. He weighed more heavily to sharing things that he does in your life. Because he wants the message of his love to spread. So being a star witness starts with being open to tell your story of what Jesus Christ showed you, of your encounter with Jesus. Number two, a brother's story recruits a future apostle. A brother's story recruits a future apostle. Now, many of us know about Peter, and we know the role that Peter eventually played in the church, right? Peter was the first major apostolic leader for the church. Peter was the one that God called, first of all, to open the door to the Gentiles. So Peter was very important in God's plans. But what many people don't know is how this guy became a believer. Many people read the story when Jesus met him by the boat. They don't know that that's just a continuation. Jesus already met him before. Amen. Jesus just went to visit him at his workplace. But the transformation of Peter started simply because a brother told the story. Everybody say, "A brother told the story." Let's read it together. Everybody, want to go? John 1:38, verse 42. Want to go? Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Come and see." He said, people that say Jesus didn't have a house, at least, you know, he had a house now, amen. And he used his house to bring people, amen. He brought people into his house for transformation. He said, "Come and see." He wasn't hiding his house. He said, "Come and see my house." Amen. "I'm coming." And look at what happened to these people. He said, let's read on, one to go. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew. Everybody say Andrew. Thank God for Andrew. Thank God for Andrew, or there will have been no Peter. Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. And looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John. You'll be called Rock," which means Peter. That was the beginning of Peter's experience with Jesus. And it came because a brother invited him. Let me ask you a question. Are your siblings saved? Are they working in purpose? Or you just, you know, when you talk, you only talk on the surface. You never share about your experiences with them. A star witness starts by being a star witness in their family. My first exposure to the faith, was a sister of mine, an older sister of mine, that would come, and she would just come. She was in the university then. So she would come, and then she would start sharing stories about God. The first person I had speaking in tongues was her. In fact, we were on the table, and they said, "Pray." And then she went, I opened my eyes, like, what is going on? I was just maybe about 14 or 13 then. So what? What's this? So she would tell the story. So I became very interested, and you know, she began to talk about a particular church. So I went to the church. And then that was about the time that shortly God met me and I gave my life to Christ. Later also, after I was doing that, and another elder sister of mine was the one that would take me to a meeting. She had a meeting. She was just leaving high school. I was still down there. So she would take me to a meeting of some people that just left high school, preparing to go to college in a house, and would be praying. And it was in that place that somebody laid hands on me, and I got filled with the Spirit. And the next day I got to my house, I heard the voice of God about the call of God to the nations. It was my sister, my sisters, that did it. The family bond is very powerful. So the question I want to ask you is this. When was the last time you talked to your family members about what is happening in your life? When was the last time you forwarded a book, a message, a Facebook Live church service? Or when was the last time you really had a heart-to-heart talk with your family members? Say, you know, the way you are living your life. You see, sometimes the way some of us, you know, behave, even some friends, we are too, how do I say it? We're too afraid to tell people the truth. Everybody say we're too afraid to tell people the truth. We say, I don't want them to think that I'm in their business. Be in their business. Don't let them go to hell. Get in their business. Don't let them destroy their lives. They might hate you now, but they will thank you later. You see your sibling doing something bad, going out with the wrong person, and you know this person is going to destroy that person. And you say, it's nice, it's good. She's nice or whatever. You should have a heart-to-heart talk and say, I don't agree with this. Some of you play friendships, and the friendships you play is so diplomatic that God is going to hold some people accountable for some other people because you never told the truth. And you are the one that was encouraging them. You are the one enabling them and enabling them to go forward. I'd rather speak the truth to you and let you say you hate me, but I know that I told you the truth. Now for me to just be there, and inside my heart, I know, hey, this is trouble. No! Let's begin to tell the truth. Amen? Let's begin to tell the truth. It was because a brother told the story to his brother. That's how we have Peter the Apostle. Tell your story of what Christ is doing in your life. Number three, you can't argue with a person with an experience. You can't argue with a person with an experience. Can you imagine somebody coming to meet you right now and say, begin to argue with you and say, there's nobody called Pastor Lan.
Now, what are you going to do? You just, what will you do? You just, you will laugh. No, no, the person says, no, no, no. According to the Greek, according to this, there's nobody called Pastor Lan. According to this, there's nobody. You laugh. Why? Because you met him. You know he exists. The same way, the reason why a lot of people get confused when somebody brings some things to them about Jesus Christ is because they've not met him. You've not met him. That's what somebody can, you know. Can you imagine somebody coming to argue with you and say, according to scientific data, there's no moon. The moon does not exist. Actually, the sun does not exist. And then you only say, you mean that? Yeah. And the person is doctor, so. Say, according to this, the moon does not exist. What's, and they say, but I saw him. You cannot argue with somebody with an experience. The reason why nobody has been able to convince, nobody can ever convince me there is no God is because I met him. Are you listening to me? I met him as a 15-year-old boy. And 16-year-old, he gave me a word when nobody was there. He spoke to me and I met him. And that word has charted the course of my life. And I've seen him over and over. I can tell of him. Nobody can convince me otherwise. I was telling the children. I said, no, people will tell you that there's no healing. I said, please, listen. Nobody can do it. Because the first time I prayed for people, the first time God told me to start praying for people, it was a blind man. A blind woman right there. That was the first person that their eyes got open. And the son that brought the blind woman was surprised. The woman was surprised. She could not see before she saw. And the next person that was healed was a lame person and a deaf person. I said, nobody can tell me that God does not heal people. Because I have experienced it. You can't argue with somebody with an experience. Look at this guy. So the beginning of this story is that this man was blind. And then he met Jesus. Then Jesus put some mud to his eyes, and his eyes were opened. Now look at this, what happens afterward. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbor and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was. And others said, no, it just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I'm the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and I washed, and now I can see. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what is your opinion about the man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe that the man had been blind and could not see. So they called his parents. They asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know that this is our son. We know that this is what? And we know that he was what? Born blind. But we don't know how he can see or who healed him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Everybody say, you are old enough to speak for yourself. So the second time they called the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man. Jesus is a sinner. We know this man, Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner. The man replied, but I know this. I was blind and now what? I can't see. But what did he do? They asked. Did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we're disciple of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man came from. Why? This is very strange. The man replied, he healed my eyes. And yes, you don't know where he comes from. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. Can you see the man? They could not convince the guy because he had an experience. Had an experience. You can't argue with someone with an experience. So my question is, what is your experience in Christ? What's your experience? What has he done? How has he met you? How has he touched you? How has he changed your life? That's your most powerful message. That's how to be a star witness. Start talking about what Christ has done in your life. Number four, even your crazy history is powerful. Amen. Even what?
Your crazy history is powerful. So I'm not just talking about all the good things, you know, Jesus spoke to me and then I did this. I'm talking about what he has delivered you from. I'm talking about the pains that you went through and Christ came through. I'm talking about the mess you were in. Amen. And Jesus turned it around. That's your message. That's your message. You were bound, but now you are free. Hallelujah. That's your message. What has Jesus done in your life? That's your most powerful message. That's the beginning of being a star witness. Led to talk about what God has done in your life. Don't be ashamed of it. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus when they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. This man was naked, possessed, tearing everything apart. Nobody could talk to him. And Jesus met him and delivered him of many demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the other about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, hallelujah. Jesus, what did he say? Where is it? I lost my... Verse what? Yes. No, go home to your family and tell them everything. Everybody's going to say everything. The Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus has done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Crazy man goes to 10 towns and tells his crazy history and began to draw people to Jesus. Your crazy story, your past story, the things that you were delivered from has power when you talk about who delivered you. So stop being afraid to tell your story. That's your most powerful message. Can I get an amen in the house? The man who made Jesus hide from the paparazzi. Amen. A man with a leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then the man, everybody read the last part together. I want to go. The man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus that he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out of the secluded, to stay out in the secluded places. But people everywhere kept coming to him. This man was healed of a skin disease. And he became an evangelist by just telling, you know what? I had a skin disease and Jesus healed me. And he had this man's simple story made Jesus to hide because the crowd were too much. The crowd was just too much coming to Jesus. You do not, until you start to try it, do you get it? Until you start to tell your story, I was healed of a skin disease, I was healed of this. Until you start to tell your story of what Jesus did in your life, you wouldn't know how many people you can draw to him. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know how many people you would draw to him. You try and tell a story on Facebook today. I challenge you. Try and tell something on Instagram and see how people that are going to be coming out and saying, you know what, I was going through this, or I'm going through the same thing. What happened? Your life can be more meaningful when you start sharing what Jesus has done in your life. You can make a difference by sharing what he has done. Final person, a former jihadist speaks. A former jihadist speak. I use the word jihadist because, you know, was doing exactly a similar thing. He was killing people because of religious belief. This was Paul. Some people think that the most powerful message of Paul was, all the things. You notice that when you read through Paul's epistles, what you will see almost everywhere is him telling a story. We know his life. We know how he met Jesus. We know how... how he began his ministry, how he traveled, where he was rejected, where he was beaten, how he was caught up to heaven. He always injected all those stories in there because your personal story is your most powerful message. So in this place, Paul was facing two kings, and it was a court case. So he had to be a witness for himself. Paul showed us how to be a star witness in this place. He didn't try to use the Bible to tell them anything. There was no New Testament then. He didn't try to do that. What did he do? He used his story. Everybody say, use his story. Look at it. I used to believe, that's him speaking, that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus of Nazarene. Indeed, I did that just in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. That's why I called him a jihadist. Amen. I chased them down in foreign cities. One day, I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. About noon, your majesty, I was on the road. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I'm Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. Now get on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people what you have seen, that you have seen me. Everybody, say that after me. Say, tell people that what? Say it again. Turn to your neighbor. Say, tell people that you have seen Jesus. And tell them what I will show you in the future. So tell them you have seen him. And tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yet I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and the power of Satan to God. And they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Look at the power of his testimony. So, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. Agrippa interrupted him. Do you think you can persuade him to become a Christian so quickly? Actually, he says, you have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. That's what he translates. You have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul replied, whether quickly or not, I pray that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these handcuffs that I have on myself. So when he was in handcuffs, what did he use? His story. He shared his story. And his story almost converted the king. So the question is, what is your story? What's the gospel according to you? Please, can I have keyboardists? What is the gospel according to what? To you. What has God done in your life that you are looking at and you feel it is it's not important? It's just one of those things. I'm telling you that as a star witness of Christ, who God has commissioned to make disciples for him, the beginning of your message is what Christ has done in your own life. How many of you have experienced his salvation here? How many of you have been healed by him here? How many of you have been delivered by Jesus here? How many of you have ever been freed? How many of you have ever experienced God intervene in your life when you didn't know what to do? That's your most powerful weapon in being a witness for Christ. All you just need to do is to find people to share it with. Amen. Share it on social media. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family members. Be a star witness. Be a star witness. Be a star witness. Talk about him. This month, let's talk about him. Amen. Let's talk about him. When people come to you with a problem, you know, don't try to quote to them something you read from somewhere. Say, you know what? I was in that problem too. There was a time I was in that problem too. But Jesus showed up and gave me wisdom. It's powerful. These people told their stories and changed cities. They changed nations. They changed generations. Don't think you have to go to Bible school, theological school. Just tell your story. And listen, nobody can arrest you at work for telling your story. They might tell you that, you know, you don't do religious things in this place, but the First Amendment covers your story. Are you listening to me? It covers what? Your story. So if you are walking somewhere where they don't want to share the gospel, you come to me. Okay, this is what happened to me. You know, I was going through the same thing and I prayed. And this is what happened. Nobody's going to arrest you for that. Amen. Tell your story. Tell them, say, tell your story. And in case you are here right now and you're like, you know, I don't have any story. I don't have any experience. I'm here to tell you that you can experience Jesus now. Can I get a witness here? You can experience Jesus now. If you have never met him as your Lord and Savior, you can meet him now. And you can have a story. There was a day I met him too, and my story began. Your own story can begin right now. Whether you are watching me or you are here, or you are hearing this message, your story can begin now. Hallelujah. And maybe you have had some other people, you have had some stories in the past. I'm here to tell you that the stories have not ended. You can still experience more of God. You can still have a story to tell of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.